Welcome to 74 Escapes new podcast series, Breaking Bread with Vera Lulu. I'm Vera, and I will take you on a gastronomic journey to explore food as an expression of cultural identity. I'll be hosting chefs and industry professionals from all over the world to discuss everything about this art form that really nourishes our souls. Let's start. Today, I'm so thrilled to welcome my chef friend, Carlo Bernardini. Born in Venice, beautiful town of Venice, Carlo went on to graduate from culinary school and he specialized in hotel management. He cooked for renowned chefs, including Pia Gagné, as well as early experiences at the Dorchester in London, Cipriani in Venice, and La Cirque in New York City. Included among his many accomplishments is cooking for Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth and Bill Clinton, as well as Barack Obama. And today I'm so pleased to welcome our chef friend, Carlo Bernardini, to this edition of Breaking Bread. Hi, chef, how are you today?
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to have such a beautiful time together over the Zoom. Pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you. You know, not so many can boast of growing up in Venice. What was it like growing up in Venice?
I wish everyone could grow up in Venice because it's such a unique city that really it inspires you because you're surrounded by just beauty. You're just surrounded by beauty. You're surrounded by beauty not only in terms of art, but beauty in terms of also lifestyle, the way we live, the way we taste the food, we discover the food, and the way our families teach us
value.
To appreciate, about the food. So, and of course, those days when I was young, and today, if you compare with today, a lot of things got lost on the road, but it was an experience as a child, spending my time there with my family that really made me grow later on in my career. And Venice, I think, is a not only magic, but it's also a very mystic city. So which you transmit a lot of different cross cultures from the old days. And really, it gives you an incredible inspiration of life. So it's a city that I recommend to everyone to see and visit. And of course, to discover all those little mom and papa restaurants, but they still have the authentic local cuisine and flavors, especially in some islands around the main island of Venice. So it was a gift given to me by God.
Speak of the rhythms of the Venetian seasons.
Well, you see, we are going from a period of festive time, and colorful time, which is the carnival. So, which comes every year between mid-February until mid-end of March. So, during that period, basically, we have a lot of events where food is involved. So, yes, you get dressed with masks and costumes and you do a lot of gathering together. And at the same time, there's a lot of traditional dishes that you usually eat only during that time of the year, like those little sweets, frittelle, like little donuts with the resin and rum and orange skin, or the galani, which is like a crunchy sweet bread with anison flavor. So those every year as a child, we used to wait only that time of the carnival to be able to eat those. If you are going to ask our grandmother or our mother to do it out of those months, it was impossible. So what I'm trying to say, every time of the year, there was a celebration. Like when we have the Redentore in July, which is the National Day of Venice, and where all the boats are cruising around the Canal Grande. So that is the time when you really enjoy more the peach from the islands, the fresh asparagus, the strawberries. So you have every time of the year, you have an experience to share with friends. You're eating, for example, cold fish, bacala, only in the cold months, like October, November, because they work the time, not before, not later. So it was very important to be able to maintain those traditions in the culinary aspect and also related to the lifestyle of the locals.
So what made you leave such a beautiful city? Where did you go after Venice?
Well, after Venice, I went to school in Switzerland. I went to study in Switzerland. My family, they sent me to actually, I was very lucky. They sent me to study management school in Switzerland. And then I was able to go much more and discover around the world. So I spent some time in Switzerland. I worked in St. Moritz. And then from there, I went to England, I went to France, at Pierre Garnier. So actually, that was the door for me to the world, which made me to open my visions, make it to open my way of living, my way of learning to cook every day, because I always been and I'm still very curious to see and to learn and to do new things. So I consider myself kind of a gypsy of the world, because my mother, she used to call me she couldn't hold me, so I was always somewhere else, you know. So it was for me, I've been away.
I think up until 2 years ago I lived out of suitcase, so this is actually my first apartment in maybe ever. I'm so interested about your experience as a Cipriani. I must say it's such a classic, such a establishment. I mean, since I was maybe 16 years old, you know, not just Venice, but here in New York City, I go at least for a Bellini and some pasta. It's just such a joie de vivre. So what was it like working there?
Well, that was the real school, the real school of what is an hotel. It was an education, actually. It was not just a work. For me, it was more an education rather than a work, because when you're able to enter those doors, you know already that you will absorb so much discipline, structure, professionality, how you do the bellini properly, how you do a risotto properly, how you cook the liver alla veneziana the right way, so what how you do favorite. The tiramisu the right way. Yeah. Because they've been doing that for years, from hand to hand, from tradition to tradition, but always they're doing the right way, with respect to the product, with respect for the client, and with respect for themselves. Sorry?
And to yourself.
Yeah, and respect to yourself, because that makes you feel good. So that's really also what I was telling my team, my crew. I share with them the same thing. Even last night, I had a briefing with my kitchen crew, and I said, look, guys, you need to use this one, your heart. Use that one. Use your feelings. So, and respect the product. Respect what you do in front of you. And do it with attention, discipline, because there's no way around. Or you do it right, or you don't do it right. There's no in between. So, entering those days, the doors of Cipriani, and there was all those dinosaurs of work. I mean, chefs and colleagues and the barmans and waiters, which are average age was between 50 to 60. You know, it was really, for me, I was like with eyes open and try to learn everything with my eyes. Because you are very intimidated to ask questions. At a young age, you are very shy. You don't know, so you are intimidated to ask questions. And one of my greatest teachers was told me, just learn with the eyes and take the cigarettes with the eyes. See the movements of the hands. See how they're moving. And be curious. Yes, curiosity. This is very important, Darren. So I suggest anyone who has the opportunity to still try to knock to that door and go through that door. And really, I wish them to have an amazing experience after this.
So do you still cook Cipriani at home? Because I know I do. If I'm not able to go to the restaurant, baked tagliolini, liver. Do you still cook for yourself or, you know, Cipriani style?
I do cook Cipriani style. Well, I don't call it actually only Cipriani. I like to cook Venetian food. Let's put in there, because Cipriani cuisine is a very local cuisine. It's from that land, it's from that sea. So it's a very grounded cuisine. And yes, I do cook those still today, those traditional dishes. So not only because I enjoy them, but because also when you bring at the table, guests, you see the smile on their face. It's a great pleasure. People are not, guests are not bored. So still today, enjoy it after so long, so many years.
And tell me about your famous anchovies and how you cook them.
Well, just out of the little boats, we have a beautiful bay here where we are, and we have a gentleman which every couple of days show up with few things what he catch from the local sea. Yeah? So when I get the anchovies just out of the boat, we clean them fresh with our hands. I don't wash them. Just use sometimes sea water to raise them. And just simple, a bit of crushed salt, black pepper, olive oil. I squeeze our beautiful green lemons that we have on the trees here with my hands. And a bit of parsley. And sometimes I add a bit of chili too, because I like it. I like a bit of spicy.
I love spicy stuff.
Yeah. And because I like to give that kick, you know. Yes, you know, the smile. And then I like to finish with a bit of green lemon zest or fresh lemon zest on top. And really, when you add in your mouth, or nice crunchy crostino, it's perfect. And a beautiful glass of Chardonnay next to it, even better.
I think that would be my last meal on earth. Anchovies with salt. Yep. On a beautiful bread with great butter, French butter, and a glass of wine, or, you know, even a digestif after. And that would be my last meal on earth. And good tomatoes on the side.
I like to do them also to do them crispy fried, you know.
Oh, but delicious.
I use that with corn flour.
Mm-hmm.
I do use corn flour. So you have also the crunchiness of the corn flour on it.
Yeah,
and a very little spicy aioli next to it, you know, to tuck, you dip it and go.
It's a good technique as well, I think. I personally really love sardines and red mullet. I think those are three best fishes for me.
Yeah, red mullet, I love it as well.
Yeah. And so you actually did live in New York City and you worked at Le Cirque. When was this and what was it like? Tell me.
Well, it was very early. It was 1992.
This
yeah,
was the prime time.
Prime time in New York. It was very different than what you're experiencing today in New York, for sure. No doubt.
I can only imagine.
People were very different. I remember how attention were put in just to bake the old potato, which was going to the table with the melting butter and white truffle by Danielle. So there was the city of the time again. Great maestro of the cuisine, bless you. He was a great maestro of the classic cuisine, because Silvio Maccione was one of the pioneers, actually, in those years, coming all the way from Tuscany as a young waiter and the build up of their career. So I think it was, I consider it was the pioneer really to open the door of the United States and market in terms of fine dining restaurants, the classic cuisine. And again, for me, it was a great school of working with professionals, or Europeans in the kitchen those days. So outside the dining room, all Italians, in the kitchen, mostly French. So, which actually was a great balance, you know. You bring the French discipline and the technique. Melt combined with the Italian charm at the dining room with the clients. So, yeah, now that I'm thinking that way, yes, really the energy was working very well. And this city was a great coach in between. So, yes, I really learned beautiful days, long working hours, hard, tough, skinny boy, you know. And...
Tired all the time. So you basically lived in the kitchen. And how long did you stay in New York?
Nearly 1 year I stayed there. It was 10 to 11 months I stayed. Yes, and it was a wonderful time, really. I truly enjoyed, everyone was very nice to each other. Everyone was supporting each other because they know how tough it was to leave your own country. And so there was a good positive way of working together. There was not like, you know, tough moment or people were really cold to each other. No, people were very nice minded together, which also I think that what made the success of such establishment was there. So, and I believe CEO was a great master to make all this great harmony all together to work. And I was very lucky that I saw great products, ingredients. We were really working those days with amazing materials, mostly coming from Europe, from France, from Italy and stuff and so on. But again, the butter, the day the butter, the way it was tasty, it was the best butter was coming from France. So the best white truffles coming from Alba. Everything was really prime quality. And was a great education also those days at the table in New York, because many people didn't have the chance to try many of those ingredients or flavors or dishes. So it was a great, education even for the clients, to be honest with you, because we were bringing culture from that part of Europe
for the first
United
time.
States.
Really?
Yeah, that's correct. So try some particular wines, try some different flavors. So I think it was a great education, yes.
And I'm so curious about your experiences working for Her Majesty. I'm very curious about your experience and knowledge about working for Her Majesty. What's her taste like? What does she like to eat? I'm so interested. I'd love to know.
Well, I just got trained for 2 months I was involved too, by the way, how to do the best gin tonic. So that was 2 months training. I think that was the best experience actually, because we had the guideline, the size of the ice cube and the size of the lemon, the shape of the lemon and the gin and the tonic.
It's
and
how much to put. Oh, and what's the ratio of gin to tonic?
I don't know. It was pretty high, actually. Less tonic, more gin. And she was a very, very, very exquisite person. Really, so humble, so
eloquent.
I spent 3 days with her, and I cook with my team. We cook together. Several dishes which they were give us, of course, some information, and we were serving the table. We had also family dinner for Her Majesty and everyone. So it was an amazing experience.
What an incredible experience, once in a lifetime.
Because it really, brava, in a lifetime, once in a lifetime, because really, she gave me an opportunity to express what I could do. They gave me trust, and we work hard to make everything smooth and proper.
Yes, of course, to be able to cook for the queen. You must have been so proud. And your nonna and your mom.
Yes, and we had a chance even to interact a little bit, so she was very pleased with everything and trying to get better light for you. So I believe it. I mean, it was an amazing experience, which I can never forget. And also I was very, very happy that she sent me a beautiful letter and sign to thanks and everything. I mean, there's so much caring for who is around them also, which I think is a great for everyone. It's not only a dinner or a job. Is to be able also the people, they recognize what you're doing, the effort and the time and the dedication. So I was very lucky.
I'm very curious about her. Tell me one meal that you made for Her Majesty. What's her taste like? What did you cook that you can remember that she absolutely loved?
I will never forget because I was very stressed what to do, what not to do, and everything. And I said, okay, let's go with simplicity. And simplicity, what I did was it was a time of the green asparagus. So we made a nice risotto with the green asparagus. And then a filet of sole with a crust of pistachio. And then I did a rack of lamb, which I use as I spread it with a tapenade of black olives and a very light morel mushroom sauce, very, very light. And we did a very simple but very light, she asked for that, a creme brulee with fresh raspberries. So that was one of the meals that we did the family.
How interesting. It must have been just incredible. I And so let's talk about beautiful Turkey and what brought you to Turkey. An Italian in Turkey.
Don't tell me. In Italian, Turkey. Well, that time I was in Singapore with the Four Seasons, and then they say we have a new assignment for you to go to Turkey to open new Four Seasons. And I was thinking, Turkey, where is Turkey? I don't know. With desert things like that, it must be. And they have no idea where was Turkey. And then so because my dream was to go to Australia, actually. And
then have you ever made it there?
Yeah, for vacation, yes.
It's one place I still haven't been to, and I'm so ashamed. And it's hopefully after Corona crisis, it will be the first place I'll go.
I recommend you to go and see. This is such an amazing part of the world. So much to see. And I was very much, because that time I was very curious about Aboriginal ingredients. So really, I was doing a lot of research on those things.
How fascinating.
Yes, because it's so much. I mean, this beautiful world we live today is surrounded by a lot of interesting things so that we think we know everything. We don't know nothing, actually.
We don't know nothing.
We don't know nothing. So anyway, I came to Turkey with the Four Seasons in 1996 to open the Sultanahmet. And the first Four Seasons, I don't know if you've been to Istanbul, to Turkey, but... it was the first property in this part of the world for the Four Seasons. At the time there was only Milano and London Four Seasons, so it was the third property. And it was a very important project for them. So when I came, it was pretty hard at the beginning because coming from Singapore, you know that you have any kind of ingredients you want from all over the world. You have access to everything. And that time was very limited, the market here. Mm-hmm. And in 97, we managed to open the hotel, and we were the first pioneers to do a lot of new cooking methods, different in the market, because all the other properties and restaurants were cooking very traditional and very, how can you say, old-fashioned. Not to sound snobbish, no misunderstanding, but I want to bring a different way of cooking, more light, more Mediterranean. A twist of Asian, because I was spending time in Asia, so I was in Japan, in Hong Kong, and Singapore. So I want to bring a bit of spice or twist, you know, in the Mediterranean cuisine. And it was a great experience. I stayed 3 years at the Four Seasons. Afterwards, the company they sent me to open the first Four Seasons in Cairo, and then from Cairo I went to London, and from London I said I'm gonna take a break now. So I took a break. And I
from cooking or off. From traveling or everything together?
Mentally, which means give it time for yourself, because when we work, we forget ourselves.
You must have been on an overload completely.
Yeah, I was very tired. So I said, okay, game over. I took time for myself, a few months, travel, relax, look around, slow down. Think, observe, and then things start to come.
I've heard that. I think a lot more people should do that.
I do believe so. Also, me now from next week when we are closing down the villa in Bodrum, I'm going to take a nice long time to go and see things that I couldn't do for the past few months, even though these days it's more difficult to travel, but at least I want to travel within the country to see what I couldn't see until now. Actually, I want to give some time for myself to that I needed, you know, to recharge. Yeah, to recharge, to refresh.
Food.
To see places, yes.
Absolutely.
So, I've been in Turkey since, then I came back to Turkey in 2002. And I established my own catering company here in Turkey in 2005. That's how I met the Queen. Actually, it was 2006. So that's how I met the Queen. Then I met Mr. President Clinton and the other guys. So it gave me a lot of exposure because I was the only foreigner who established a catering company in this country. So as an Italian, with really people love Italian cuisine and everything. So it gave me really a great opportunity to develop the company and to establish a solid ground for our business. So basically, since a couple of years, I'm spending my summer time in Bodrum at the Villa Macekaze, which is the property which I'm operating. And it's a beautiful place here, which is overlooking an amazing bay, which the name is Paradise Bay, because it's surrounded just by green and turquoise water. See through, see fishes, you see beautiful, beautiful clear crystal water. So, and we are surrounded by an amazing olive trees garden. And we have a lot of herbs. We are surrounded by so many fresh herbs all over. Thyme, sage, rosemary, lavender, oregano, whatever you like it. And we are very lucky because we have a lot of local farmers which are organic. And we are supporting them with organic ingredients. So I even buy seeds for them. I bring it from Europe. So it's a great, how can you call it? It's a great synergy working together, you know. And also we have beautiful little villages around where you go to these weekly markets where you find all those very interesting seasonal ingredients. You know, now the season for chili, mushroom, start, and morel. So you find a lot of beautiful
season. I have some in the fridge now.
Yeah. And I truly enjoyed being this part of Turkey because it's an amazing place. So, and we have great clients coming from all over the world. And here I'm very flexible because I express what I feel for them in terms of cooking. We are working with our menus here. We are working basically what you feel to have, you see who's in front of you. So you come up with things that, you know, they will feel more comfortable, they will enjoy more. And it's a very, I'm calling it actually spontaneous cuisine.
Because it sounds like such poetry to me, and I count the days until I can come next summer and visit, because up until now
you will throw your ticket like that, the return ticket, even though there's no more tickets like this. You will delete it.
I was actually very close to getting to where you are now this summer, and it was a few days before I hopped on the plane, I got a notification, I got the job, so I had to take it, you know, and it's a wonderful opportunity. I cook for fantastic people. And at times like this, the job is a blessing. So I had to put my travels on hold, which crushed me, but I can come to visit and explore and, you know, meet you and talk to Demet. And I think it would be so much fun to organize something together. And, you know, just absorb what Turkey has to offer. But saying that, I must mention my favorite market in Ventimiglia. I think it's a fantastic market. When you're in south of France and you drive through, when you go to Italy and when you go shopping in Ventimiglia, it's fantastic. I think, you know, many chefs like Mario Colagreco, they come to shop. And it's so much fun. And it's, you know, the French and Italian transition, but I enjoy that market so much. It's a memory of every summer since I was, you know, since many years.
Yes, because that time of the year is a very, you're in a good mood somehow. And whatever you see in front of you, it makes you feel good and you want to use as much as possible and try to come up with a lot of different ideas. Yes, I'm agree with you. It's a great time, very joyful, which I'm sure we will have many, many, many more.
How has pandemic impacted the hotel where you're at in Turkey? Have you seen, you know, a change in whether it's good or bad in terms of customers, and how is it right now?
Well, it was very uncertain until mid-June, actually, because that's when we had the lockdown off here. At the first week of June, the lockdown was over, so people could start to travel from city to cities. And then when I was here beginning of June, we didn't even know if you were going to be able to operate or do something, or even to grab some business, because there was zero things happening. And somehow we give some hope and we look, okay, let's be positive. Let's try to knock the door to our regular clients and, you know, see if we can invite them over back and so on. So, and then towards the end of June, things start to pick up in a good way. And luckily, this part of the world, it wasn't that bad affected like in many other European countries or some other part of the world. So we start to receive great feedbacks from the clients. We start to see travelers coming from many parts of Europe and some from, even last night I met a client from Brazil.
Turkey was one of the few countries that actually allowed people to come in. So I think you guys...
Turkey was Turkey was one of the really maybe only country which the door was open all the way. And so that really we attract a lot of clients, and I have to be very honest with you, we've really been very busy. We didn't stop a day. We touch wood, we had a great summer. It's still on. We still have a great weather. We still have clients. We are working out for the New Year's Eve, for the November, December program, covering also New Year's Eve and Christmas. So this part of the world, yes, we have to be honest, we have been doing great. People came back. We saw a lot of new faces that before we never saw. So there's been also in a way slight transition of clientele in the market, because many of course couldn't travel from some other parts. And I believe, yes, even despite some negative people are still not feeling sometimes very uncomfortable or socializing and so on, but we went through smoothly, safely for both sides, for the employees and for the guests. And of course, being open air all day with the beautiful oxygen, it really helped a lot. It makes people much more safe and secure. And people really were feeling great to be here, because they felt like in a safe zone. So they truly enjoying the food, the wines, the time, and the beautiful sunny days and swimming. I was lucky. We were lucky. So I cannot complain. And I wish the same for everyone.
Chef Carlo, it was such an honor and such a pleasure to speak with you. You have such an incredible, inspiring bio and philosophy. And I hope and I count days until next summer, which is how many months, where we can sit down and share a glass of grappa with Demet and our friends and have some anchovies. And I cannot thank you enough for your time. I know how busy chefs are. And it was such a great, beautiful talk. And I definitely want to keep talking more. And thank you so much.
I thank you, Vera. Looking forward to have you over. We will cook together.
Beautiful yes. Thing.
I'll tell you my little secrets of where to pick up nice ingredients.
Definitely. I can't wait.
Yes. Be safe, be well, you and all your family in New York, and I wish you beautiful things always, and looking forward again.
And we welcome you in New York.
Oh no, never know.
Thank you so much.